Hello and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2019 and 2020 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for concerts by the North Carolina Symphony at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, November 14th at Memorial Hall in Chapel Hill, and at 12 noon and 8 p.m. Friday, November 15th, and 8 p.m. Saturday, November 16th at Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. Now, these performances will be conducted by guest conductor Andre De Ritter. First, I want to point out that the 12 noon performance on Friday, November 15th will be slightly different from the other performances on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. I'll begin telling you about that one. If you're going to the 12 noon performance, the concert at noon on November 15th in Maymandy Hall begins with the second movement of Music for Strings, Percussion, and Celesta by Béla Bartók, and that will be followed by the feature work for this concert, the Symphony No. 9 in E minor, Opus 95, commonly known as the New World Symphony by Antonín Dvořák. Now, the program for the evening performances on Thursday through Saturday night, November 14th through the 16th, will be as follows. The North Carolina Symphony will come onto the stage to perform Big, Beautiful, Dark, and Scary by Julia Wolfe. And that will be followed by Music for Strings, Percussion, and Celesta by Béla Bartók. Then, following the intermission, the symphony will return to the stage to perform the Symphony No. 9 in E minor, Opus 95, From the New World by Antonín Dvořák. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. First, some information about our guest conductor. Andre De Ritter is artistic director of Musica Nova Festival, Helsinki, Finland's most prominent international contemporary music festival, and he's artistic curator of London's Spitalfields Music Festival, where he received a 2018 Royal Philharmonic Society Award. The live wire conductor, as he's called by the Times of London, makes his North Carolina Symphony debut with these concerts. He is a regular guest for festivals such as the BBC Proms, Manchester International Festival, and Australian International Music Festival, and he has conducted orchestras such as the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, New York Philharmonic, Hong Kong Philharmonic Orchestra, and others around Europe and Asia. Equally active in the field of opera and music theater, in the 2018-19 season, he led new productions of The Magic Flute, the Central City Opera in Colorado, Bluebeard's Castle, the Irish National Opera, and Nixon in China, the Staatsoper Stuttgart. In 2013, he founded the European music collective Stargaze, an idea think tank for collaborative projects ranging from Bach and Beethoven to avant-garde electronics, post-punk rock, and contemporary classical music. De Ritter's discography includes Recomposed by Max Richter, Vivaldi, The Four Seasons, and an album of orchestral music by Bryce Dessner and Johnny Greenwood. The North Carolina Symphony opens these evening concerts with a composition entitled Big, Beautiful, Dark, and Scary by Julia Wolfe. Julia Wolfe was born December 18, 1958, in Philadelphia, and this work was composed in 2002, the first performance, April 2002, at the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, Bang on a Can All-Stars. Now here's the story about this. Julia Wolfe is an American composer inspired by classical, folk, and rock, bridging the gaps between genres. She is co-founder of New York's music collective, Bang on a Can. Currently on the faculty of New York University, she is a graduate of the University of Michigan, Yale School of Music, and Princeton University. Wolf received the Pulitzer Prize for Music in 2015 and was named a MacArthur Fellow in 2016. Her multimedia oratorio, Fire in My Mouth, about the 1911 Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire that killed more than 100 workers, was premiered in 2019 by the New York Philharmonic and a chamber choir of women and girls. A recording of the highly praised work was released in August. Wolf's work focuses on the ways in which sound is related to memory and experience, as well as the new harmonies formed from familiar chords with microtonal tunings or sounds found in the natural and urban environment. Wolf composed Big, Beautiful, Dark, and Scary following the 9/11 tragedy. It was her response to standing with her children two blocks from Ground Zero when the plane struck the Twin Towers. For the premiere, she wrote, "This is how life feels now." She originally composed it for the six-member Bang on a Can ensemble, subsequently transcribing it for the symphony orchestra. Now here's some listening tips. Big, Beautiful, Dark, and Scary builds on repeated ascending chromatic scales against pounding rhythmic figures. These are musical gestures that we all know from film and TV soundtracks, and we know exactly how to respond emotionally to them. The work is not melodic, but one of its few fragmented melodies is from the 1890 ditty, "East Side, West Side, All Around the Town." The kids played "Ring Around Rosie, London Bridge is Falling Down." Boys and girls together, me and Mamie O'Rourke, we trip the light fantastic on the sidewalks of New York. The instrumentation for this work is as follows. It's for two flutes, one doubling piccolo, two oboes, one doubling English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, one doubling contrabassoon, four horns, two trumpets, trombone, bass trombone, tuba, percussion, piano, electric guitar, and strings. Next on this evening concert series, the North Carolina Symphony performs Music for Strings, Percussion, and Celesta by Bela Bartok. Bartok was born March 25, 1881, in Romania, which was then part of Hungary, died September 26, 1945, in New York City. The work was composed in 1936, the first performance January 31, 1937, in Basel, Switzerland, the Basel Chamber Orchestra, Paul Socker, conducting. Now here's the story. Bela Bartok composed Music for Strings, Percussion, and Celesta in 1936 on commission from Swiss conductor and philanthropist Paul Socker. Now Bartok wrote, "The general mood of the work, apart from the humorous second movement, represents a gradual transition from the sternness of the first movement and the lugubrious death song of the third to the life assertion of the last one." Now, the work is a feast of strikingly unusual sonorities and rhythms. Like most of Bartok's music, it is constructed of very short, rhythmic, dynamic musical motifs, as opposed to the expansive themes of composers such as Mozart or Tchaikovsky. He employed these concise melodies in fugues and canons, often played inverted or in retrograde, upside down or backwards. On a larger scale, he maintains a tight architectural approach. Bartok was obsessed with symmetry, and grand arc forms encompass entire movements and the piece as a whole. Symmetry is even applied to the seating of the performers. The strings are divided into two equal groups, which Bartok specifies should mirror each other on opposite sides of the stage. Now here are some listening tips. The first movement, the Andante Tranquillo is a slow chromatic fugue. The fugue subject recurs throughout the piece, providing a sense of unity and a large formal design. Now, the movement begins with muted strings. The strings gradually crescendo, finally removing their mutes. About halfway through, a cymbal crash announces the climax, at which point the theme is inverted. The dynamics gradually decrescendo, subsiding to the quietness of the opening as the strings are muted once again to repeat the fugue, with the theme still inverted. Finally, in the coda, the theme and its inversion are played simultaneously, ending very softly, pianissimo. Participation of the percussion instruments is kept to a minimum and only to highlight strategic moments in the form. Now, here's information about the second movement. I'll remind you once again that the second movement is the only movement that will be performed at the 12 noon concert by the North Carolina Symphony. But the second movement, here's the information. The Allegro features call and response between the string sections on either side of the stage. Its short, aggressive initial theme contains a minor rearrangement of the pitches from the first movement fugue subject. The strings dominate the first half of the movement, albeit with loud punctuation by the timpani. Bartok later introduces episodes for piano and celesta, with various combinations of percussion instruments, as well as for pizzicato or plucked strings. The third movement, the opening xylophone, accelerando, and slithery timpani set the stage for the mysterious adagio. Its creeping chromatic theme, accompanied by a quiet timpani roll, belongs to a style often referred to as Bartok's night music, referring to a piano piece he had composed in 1926. Exactly halfway through the movement, the celesta stars in a swirling perpetual motion with the piano and harp, interrupted violently by a crash on the piano and contrasting percussive variations on the theme. The strings return with the creeping theme, and the movement closes with the xylophone and timpani once again. And now the fourth movement, the finale, Allegro Molto, rolls out a series of dances beginning in the style and rhythm of a Bulgarian folk dance, opening with wild timpani and guitar-like strumming on the violins. The movement proceeds through the dances, the tempo becoming increasingly frenzied, egged on by the piano. A slow middle section repeats the first movement's fugue, followed by an allusion to the second movement's theme by a solo cello. The celesta leads into a repeat of the Bulgarian theme from the opening in the coda. The theme is again repeated as a slow Hungarian dance and ends with a rapid flourish. The instrumentation for this work is as follows. It's for timpani, percussion, harp, celesta, piano, and strings. And following the intermission on these evening concerts, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform the major work for this series, the Symphony No. 9 in E minor, Opus 95, From the New World, by Antonín Dvořák. Dvořák was born September 8, 1841, near Prague in the Czech Republic. He died May 1, 1904, in Prague. The work was composed in 1893, the first performance, December 16, 1893, by the New York Philharmonic, Anton Seidel conducting. Now here's the story. Antonín Dvořák's sojourn in the United States from 1892 to 1895 came about through the efforts of Mrs. Jeanette B. Thurber, a dedicated and idealistic proponent of an American national music style. She underwrote and administered the first American music conservatory, the National Conservatory of Music of America, in New York City. Because of Dvořák's popularity throughout Europe, he was Thurber's first choice for a director. The fact that he spoke no English was of little consequence, since the language of musical discourse was German. He was probably lured to the big city so far from home by both a large salary and convictions regarding musical nationalism that paralleled Mrs. Thurber's own. 30 years before his arrival, Dvorak had read Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's Song of Hiawatha in a Czech translation. He was eager to learn more about Native American and African American music, which he believed should be the basis of the American style of composition. He had intended to compose an opera on Hiawatha, which never left the drawing board. Dvorak shared with Mrs. Thurber the conviction that the National Conservatory should admit African-American students. One of them was Henry Burley, who became an important African-American composer in his own right. While Dvorak's knowledge of authentic Native American music is questionable, his exposure came through samples transcribed for him by American friends and through Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. He became familiar with African American spirituals through Burley, as well as indirectly via the songs of Stephen Foster. He incorporated both of these styles into the Symphony No. 9, composed while he was in New York. Now here's some listening tips. Regarding the first movement, just as Dvorak seldom quoted Bohemian folk music directly in his own nationalistic music, he did not use American themes in their entirety. Rather, with his unsurpassed gift for melody, he incorporated characteristic motives into his own themes. In the first movement, we hear fragments of Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. We can deduce the importance of the American musical motifs from the fact that they appear as reminiscences in more than one movement, especially in the finale. The symphony, however, is hardly an American pastiche. The second movement, the second motif in the Largo movement, is a phrase of wrenching musical longing that many listeners interpret as the composer's nostalgia for his native Bohemia. The New York music critic and Dvorak's friend Henry Krabel claimed that the movement was inspired by incidents from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's The Song of Hiawatha, which incidents, however, have never been definitively determined. Krabel posited the scene in which Hiawatha woos Minnehaha, while others have suggested Minnehaha's funeral. Now about the third movement, with its rhythmic thumping, the pentatonic scale, and the orchestration dominated by winds and percussion. The third movement is meant to portray an Indian ceremonial dance, also described in Longfellow's poem. Dvorak's symphonic use of what he believed to be an authentic Native American musical idiom may have reflected his initial ideas for his abandoned opera on Hiawatha. And finally, the fourth movement, one of the most important features of the symphony overall, is its thematic coherence. Whatever the origin of the melodies, they all have a modular characteristic in that they can be mixed and matched in many different ways. In the last movement, Dvorak brings nearly all of the symphony's themes together, sometimes as one long continuous melody, and sometimes in contrapuntal relationship to each other. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: two flutes, one doubling the piccolo, two oboes, one doubling the English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, and strings. These program notes were written and copyrighted in 2019 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for Your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the 2019-2020 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will be available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.